1. This was Helen's favorite part of the sonata. The slow, measured rise and fall of the notes, the yearning, pleading sound flowing from her piano. Her eyes were closed in concentration when she heard the low growl of thunder in the distance. She lifted her hands from the keys and looked through the window. Her eyes were still sharp enough to see that the wind was spinning crazily through the trees, burying the pale undersides of the leaves and bending the stand of volunteer bamboo nearly to the ground. It was only 5 o'clock on a summer afternoon, the 4th of July to be exact, but it was already dark, the sort of darkness that made the woods look at once foreboding and inviting. The sky above the trees suddenly pulsed with light, and thunder rumbled once more in the distance. Helen loved a good storm, and she skipped the entire second movement of the sonata to begin the roaring, thundering third. It wasn't until the rain began in earnest that she remembered the tools in the garden. She'd planned to work out there again this afternoon, but the piano had seduced her on one of her trips through the house. She rose slowly from the bench and walked into the kitchen and out the back door. She didn't bother with an umbrella, and the rain felt fresh and cool on her face as she crossed the yard to the garden. The scuffle hoe lay on the ground near the thigh-high shoots of corn. She picked up the hoe, then turned in a circle, hunting for the shovel and trowel, shaking her head when she spotted them in a tangle of weeds. Had those weeds been there a few hours earlier? They were popping up as fast as she could pull them these days. They raised their healthy green faces to the rain as she bent over for the trowel. She walked to the edge of the bamboo where Rocky was buried and pulled a few weeds from around the boulder she'd managed to roll on top of the fresh grave. She'd nearly wrenched her back moving the stone, but she hadn't cared. The vet had come out to her house to put the terrier to sleep only the week before, and she was not quite over it yet. She missed the wiry body leaping on her bed in the morning for a cuddle. She missed the way he would lie at her feet, no matter where she went in the house. She'd wept and wept watching the vet dig the grave, as though all the losses she'd endured in her 83 years had been encapsulated in the death of the little dog. Rocky had been her family since Peter's death 10 years earlier, becoming the object of her nurturing and the source of her affection. The loneliness in the house the past week had been a palpable force. The trees whipped around her shoulders as she stood up from Rocky's grave, and thunder roared in her ears like a menacing animal lurking just out of sight. Something made her turn to look back at her house, that little miracle of wood and glass she and Peter had created more than 60 years ago. And suddenly the world turned white. Ice white. So cold, it burned. Pain everywhere. Above her, pink and blue dahlias bloomed in the dark sky before dropping their petals in a shower of sparks. She lay still for several minutes, waiting for the petals to fall on her, wondering why she didn't feel them on her skin, until she realized it was fireworks she was seeing in the sky above her. Fireworks. The 4th of July. The gardening tools. Weeds and rain. She couldn't swallow. Couldn't hear. Shouldn't there be sound with fireworks? She tried to lift her head to see exactly where she was, but the muscles in her neck were frozen. Maybe she'd had a stroke. Oh, the pain in her chest. Her head. Maybe she'd fallen and given herself a concussion. She squinted as tiny gold fish wriggled across the sky, disappearing in a pale orange mist. She tried to remember. There'd been a storm. Thunder. The white light. Sudden and blinding. She knew then what had happened, and she felt a keen sense of disappointment that the lightning had not simply killed her. It would have been a splendid way, a splendid time to die,